Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, family. Greetings. Welcome to A Wonderful Approach Radio. I'm your host, Mama Seven, and it is Wednesday. Wednesdays always have a very special meaning. You know, that's the day we get our prayer in, working on us, working on bettering ourselves and spiritual development, personal development, development. You know, this is really when we're really trying to live our best life, live our best understanding. Understanding that knowledge isn't everything, but it does help when you know a little bit. And that's what A Wonderful Approach is all about, everybody kind of pitching in to know their little bit. And so we come together every Wednesday at 8 o'clock to share what we've learned through life, through experiences, through our studies, you know, through meditation, just through doing it the wrong way. Sometimes you learn, even a broke clock is right twice a day. So we are working together so that we can develop ourselves into the best person we can be. I absolutely love getting to this point right here, because that means I've done all my shrine work. I've accomplished all of the reading that I have to do. You know, I just feel such a strong sense of accomplishment when I get to this 8 o'clock hour. And then also, you know, a little something here for those that, you know, maybe struggling between having a full spiritual expression and demands of work, of home, of children, of spouses. You know, this is why I have to designate this time, because if not, something will always come up. Trust me, something always comes up. So this is why we have to stop what we're doing and insist on having our spiritual experiences, our spiritual growth. So very, very proud to get to Wednesday. If you ever want to check out one of our older shows, all you have to do is go to A Wonderful Approach Facebook page. There we have all of our shows that we've posted. And last week was a special show. We had Dr. Adoma join us. And she is an experience all of her own. And we speak all the time about I don't think there's a topic we haven't spoken about. But when we were speaking, she was like, I really want to know. I want to know what this spiritual journey is doing for other people. How are they learning and then applying it to their life? How is this spirituality helping people to live better lives? And it was a very interesting show, because people shared basically where they were, the growth that they've had over the year, and then where, you know, hopefully coming up, where we hope to get with this. So it was a very, very interesting show. Of course, the callers make the show. We have wonderful, wonderful callers that take the time out of their day and, you know, kind of move past their own shyness and work and say, hey, look, I do know something about that. I have experienced that. So it was a wonderful show. If you get a chance, please check it out. Again, if you didn't get a chance to check it out for the first time. But it was wonderful to get people's perspective about how they allow their spirituality to make changes within them. Each week I have the pleasure of working with different people. And this particular week, we are working with Mama Khadija. Mama Khadija back from Africa, working on getting all of herself back. You know, I think first your body comes back, then your spirit eventually comes back, and you know, jet lag and everything else. So it takes a couple of stages to get all the way back. But we are so tickled to have her on air tonight, because we have to speak about some spiritual transitions. And it's a great topic. Mom Khadija said, yeah, this is your topic. I said, I love it. I'm ready for it. But we have not heard from Mama Khadija in a couple of weeks. So I want to get her on the line, see how she's doing, see how all of her is doing after this wonderful experience of international travel and how that, you know, impacted her. I just wanted to give 2 seconds for that. Let me see if I can get Mama Khadija on the line. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings. Greetings, everyone. I am back in the United States.
Yes.
I'm back. I'm all the way back.
Okay, good.
Creator,
yeah.
Every day for allowing me, making all things possible in my life and that wonderful trip that I just took to the motherland. I thank you for all of your prayers, family, all your well wishes and all that good stuff. And I just want to bottom line everything because everyone has been asking me and I keep saying, okay, I'm going to do a booklet about my journey and my experience. I've already started working on that. But to bottom line it, the Africans that were in the dungeons, I had the privilege of going to the dungeon, the Cape Coast dungeon, and standing on the same soil that our ancestors stood and walking through that door of no return, knowing that I had been able to return with such a blessing. And when I listened to the story that the tour guide gave, it was blood-curdling, mind-blowing, however you want to say it, but it just really brought home for me up close and personal the sacrifice that our ancestors made.
Mm.
It was a phenomenal trip.
Awesome.
I learned a lot, and I felt a whole lot, a lot more than I thought I was going to feel.
Oh, really?
But it was a phenomenal trip. If you get to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you read in the history books and what you might see on television or even in a good documentary will not touch you like going and standing in those dungeons and standing on that earth where our ancestors stood.
Mm. Wow. You know, I'm into the trees. I tell everybody I believe in the birds, the bees, and the trees. And I would love to see some of the huge trees that are in Africa that are so wide, you know what I'm saying, that you see, you know, it takes 100 people arm in arm to reach around the tree. And, you know, I would like to see some of these old ancient trees. So, you know, there are things in this life that I would still like to see and accomplish. It's so funny. I just had a birthday. I'm very excited. You know, birthdays are they're an accomplishment, you know, one that my mother had me successfully, and I greatly appreciate that. But also it's a moment for reflection for me. And part of the wonderful birthday gift that I received was, you know, the beginning of getting that passport taken care of. And I was like, okay, it does not get any clearer than this. Make it happen. So, you know, all that is more confirmation for travel, for experience, for exposures, everything. So thank you so much for sharing with us. We're glad that you made it back safely. I don't know if you're going to be able to go away anymore because you left and did not make any phone calls back. So your grandchildren were like, no. the grandkids almost had a revolt over here. But, you know, hey, we're all good. We're going to try. This week's show is about spiritual transitions. And we have to talk about this. And one thing about A Wonderful Approach is that we don't shy away from the hard topics. And there are quite a few hard topics. You know, spirituality is not all gumdrops and sprinkles. You know, there are some things that will hit you straight in the gut. And some that will slap you in the face. You know, there are some really real topics out there that we have to address, we have to face, we have to be okay with saying. This particular program, this organization, we're real okay with saying, okay? Especially when acknowledging and then building from that will help your growth. See, everything that we do in A Wonderful Approach is structured a lot under Mother Eagle Ministries and very, very similar in ideology. We're going to deal with the root, not just the byproduct. You know, so you're not going to be able to shake me. You can tell me it's A, but I'm like, it's not A. Come on. So, you know, we're always going to get to the truth of the matter and then work from there. Once we're at that bottom line, we're here. So we have nowhere to go but up. And we have to talk about these spiritual transitions because, like life, they're constantly occurring, you know, and a lot of times we don't know how to handle them and or don't know the best way to handle them or just get stuck handling them. So, you know, we want to make sure that we're doing all that we can to prepare ourselves for these transitions. What I find is when I'm making a transition, when I'm changing something, and the change is so monumental that it's called a transition, the more preparation I have for it, the better I do. And that could be just me. Some people are going to fight and kick regardless. But if you can fight and kick if you want to, you won't win when it comes to the universe. just going to make yourself look a little silly. So we have to talk about these transitions, these life stages. You know, our first big transition is one we had very little control over. This was our birth when we were coming into this life and coming in open, vulnerable, not even able to hold your neck up. A lot of those things were done. We had basic auto drive, but a lot of that we were not in control of. The transitions from there, we had a lot more to deal with as far as going from this infant stage. Just about every 7 years, there is a new understanding of life that comes to a person. So when we go into seven-year-olds, you know, going into that life cycle, you know, right before and right after, but right at that seven-year period, there is we're going to school. There's more independence. Our parents are very much helping and ushering in this transition, and we're building from there. Our next big transition from there is about 14, give or take. The way hormones are now, younger than 14, but 14. And this is when we're going into puberty. We're beginning our moving from a child into that young adult understanding and all of those lessons, and a lot of those lessons at 14, we're beginning to make choices for ourselves, but still under the guidance of our parents. Then, of course, at 21, I have one moving into 21, and he's so full speed ahead, and I'm the mama like, no, can we slow this down a little bit? But this is a stepping stone into adulthood, into manhood. So as you see, every 7 years, there is a growth period. Every 7 years, there are things to be acknowledged. There's things to be let go. You can't be about to move into 21 and still thinking that it's okay to do some of our 14-year-old things, okay? We can't move backwards in our life cycle. And what happens is when we get stuck, when we don't want to move out of one understanding to the next, we get stagnant. We retard ourselves. You know, even if your parents aren't ready for you to move, they can stagnate you. And so it's so important that with each life cycle that sometimes we need a head start, a running start, in order to successfully jump over to the next side. But there's so much that goes into each life cycle. And after a certain point, then it doesn't go so much by the number, but then it'll go by experiences. Moving into motherhood, moving into parenthood, moving into that time and space in your life where the family needs are not as much. You know, it could be an empty nest idea, to where you're allowed to do more. A lot of people, this is where they find religion, is because, you know, the rest of their life has kind of slowed down. And they're like, oh, yeah, God, you know, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to be praying. I'm supposed to be doing all of this. So if I can catch people before we get to that stage, you know, we don't need to wait until almost 50 to think about our relationship with God. I know Mama Khadija has had incredible, incredible research and study into the menopausal years. And in fact, had a rites of passage about that transition moving from adult to elder, which is a huge deal. It is, you know, each one of these transitions and life cycles, in my opinion, deserves their own rites of passage. And a lot of times there is one. They deserve their own acknowledgement. When you move from one stage to the next, everyone needs to know it, needs to acknowledge it, and needs to support you on this new step that you're on, okay? And I remember Mama Khadija did the rites of passage for that particular age group of women, and it was phenomenal. In fact, before we get into our final transition, I wanted to speak to Mama Khadija a little bit about that whole rites of passage that she did and why it's important to celebrate and acknowledge that age group.
Well, I think it's important to celebrate each one of those transition points. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons that the menopausal women was revealed through spirit, that we should celebrate that age group, is that so many of us, you know, after going to school, dealing with our careers, raising our children, and participating in their own rites of passage, so to speak, raising husbands and, you know, having husbands and all the things that we do as women, a lot of times we are the last ones to acknowledge our accomplishments. We're the last ones that get celebrated. You know, I know a lot of times women will have a spotless house, all but their bedroom.
Right.
Because that is the last room. You know, they've dressed the kids, they've cooked a great meal, they've done the laundry, but she is too tired to get her nails done. So, I mean, that has been our story as women
for decades.
So I felt it was so important for us to acknowledge women who have gone through so much and have neglected themselves for so long, for someone to acknowledge, these are your accomplishments, and we celebrate you for this, and we want you to celebrate. And we want your families to celebrate your accomplishments as a woman. So it was necessary for that reason, and for that mm-hmm. reason alone. We are always last. We put ourselves last. We put the kids first. We put the husband first. We put the job first. And a lot of times we don't get to acknowledge who we are and our accomplishments until we're at that menopausal stage. That's when we might take a vacation and treat ourselves. That's when we might celebrate at a girl's night out or whatever. But as a rule, we're always last. So it was our way of putting those menopausal and perimenopausal women up front and ahead of everything else. And it was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And before you go into that final thing, I know you were talking about the eldership, but before I just have to say about those transitions, if you are 40 years old and you can only see two transitions or three transitions, major transitions, and the key word is change and passage, then that means somewhere along the line you have been stunted and you have been cheated, whether you cheated yourself or whether life cheated you or someone cheated you, but you're missing out. And there are a number of things that stunt our spiritual and emotional transitions that keep us from going through those transitions, that hold up those transitions, and that is trauma, addiction, incarceration, and any major family dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
Those things rob us of making those transitions, of having that change, of going through that passage. And there are also transition places. Well, we'll talk about that once you get into the final transition. But, I just want to say that.
Yeah, and adding to that, you know, sometimes part of the reasons why we don't transition, and Mom Keys gave a great list, we have people where we are convenient to them or good to them in a certain capacity, and they're not looking forward to our growth. If you've ever been around a child who is potty training, sometimes it's easier for them just to go in the diaper. You know, running back and forth to the bathroom in the middle of the mall, in the middle of the grocery store, in the middle of a recital, whatever, is not convenient. Sometimes your growth is not convenient for other people. Sometimes your growth is very inconvenient for others because it makes them turn around and look and see, hey, you're not growing. What's your problem? So a lot of times, not only do we have ourselves to battle when it comes to change, we have other people to battle that it was much easier to deal with when you stayed in your little box. Now you're trying to get out your box, and now you're trying to grow, and you're all over the place, and that's not working for me. I liked it when you didn't mind if I came in and dumped all my stuff on your desk. You know, you were supposed to do my work for me, and I'll just come back around 4:30 and pick it up, or I'm going to burden you with my emergencies, or I'm going to burden you just with my negative attitude and all my little negative things that I vent with, and I'm just going to burden them with you. I feel great afterwards, and you are now slowed down. So, you know, there are a lot of things that hold you from that transition, but you have to understand these transitions are absolutely necessary. I'm very thankful that they're labeled so that way I can sit back and say, okay, you know, signs of growth, signs of consistency, signs of, you know, responsibility and acknowledgement, check, 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 okay, I'm going to the next step. I need to know that, okay? I need to know what the steps are. I want to know what this is supposed to look like. And I'm ever so thankful for those that are ahead of me, even if you're just 6 months ahead of me. I'm appreciative that you're ahead of me because I'm looking at what you're doing. I'm looking at how graceful or ungraceful you are in this whole process, you know. And so everyone needs to be working on this transition. We're not supposed to stay the same. Every year there should be a new understanding of life. Every year there should be new growth, you know, new checks that you check off on your list. So one of the final transitions, of course, is our transition from this earth to the next. on one hand, this is an easy transition because there's nothing that we can do when it is our time. On the other hand, there is so much mental and emotional growth that's needed to prepare ourselves for this. And in 2019, we've had a lot of people called back to the ancestral realm. And some of it, I'm like, okay, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Not like God asked me, but I say, I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. And the other ones, I'm like, no. I am like the mother from Good Times? I'm like, no. I'm not good with this. This can't be going on. No. So we have to talk about it. We have to have a new understanding. I don't think we've ever actually spoke about death on the show. I don't think we've ever spoken about transitioning and how we spiritually handle transitions. How do we spiritually support others in the middle of transition? And so I wanted to put some information out there. I wanted to put some love out there. I wanted to really, really kind of go over this as much as we can in the time frame that we have. But, you know, it's difficult. It's difficult. Even when we are spiritualists, it is difficult. You can be a saint. I don't care who you are. That final transition is difficult for the families that's left behind, but it's also difficult for those that are looking at this. Everyone knows we have the big super retreat at Sapelo, and the super retreat is always nothing what I thought it was. Every year it's a new retreat. Every year, I mean, we've been doing this for quite some time, and every year it's a new experience, and I'm like, dang, am I ever going to get this right? You know, am I ever going to get it to where it doesn't surprise me? But it did. It always does. And one of the big surprises is that we had an elder priest there. And, you know, he said one of the things that he was working on and struggling with was his mortality. And I sat there and I looked. If my eyes had gotten any bigger, they probably would have rolled out of my head. And I didn't have words to say. I really was not fully comprehending what he was saying. And my brain was like really trying to understand these words. And I was like, is that something that you have to deal with? Is that something that you have to address? Is that something that, and of course, the answer is yes. You know, I was fussing with Mama Cadiz the other day, and I was telling her, I said, look, you have three incredibly wonderful daughters that don't agree on anything. So if you have any requests or, you know, you need to spell it out, because me and my sisters, we would have three different funerals. They'd all be off the chain, okay? We coordinate the times and everything, but they would be three totally different funerals because we are not going to agree on nothing, okay? But, you know, as you start to think about that relationship with your own mortality, and this isn't something for older people to even have to worry about. This is for all people to worry about. I lost a frat brother 2 weeks ago, and he may have been 40, maybe. a father, a husband, a business partner, a brother, you know. And so this is something that we have to get in order for ourselves. This is something as we're going through our spiritual development that we need to have in order because, of course, none of us have lived perfect lives, nor are we going to live perfect lives. But I sure would like to get some of my bonus points so that hopefully that by the time I make it to the pearly gate, my bonus points will have me in a good standing, you know? I'm hoping to have shown that I was a good citizen. I'm hoping to, you know, so as I'm mentally thinking about this whole idea, I'm really thinking about, one, what is God going to think about the accumulation of my life, what I've done with the life that he's given to me, with the resources he's given to me, the gifts he's given to me? Is God going to be pleased with this, you know? And so, Mama Khadija, there's so many different ways and places and spaces you can jump in on. I just want to stop for a second and give you an opportunity to say some words.
Well, I think that a lot of people live their life planning for that last transition.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people do what they want to do, but I don't live my life that way. I would like to think that I'm living my life every single day learning, because I believe this earth is our schoolroom, our schoolhouse, learning and loving and embracing peace and joy and love, and that's going to take care of my afterlife. You know, because I really feel that a lot of people are so focused on what's going to happen when they die.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where a lot of the fear, yeah, that's where the fear and the apprehension about dying comes in. They're so focused on what's going to happen after they die, and all that's going to be taken care of, because nobody really, really, really knows. Now, our spiritual mm-hmm. beliefs and our business beliefs, you know, they pretty much dictate what we believe to happen during the transition and where your spirit might be and what you might even be doing. But, you know, is that all speculation? Because who has gone and come back to tell it? Now, there's some people that
right.
say that they have. But for
right.
the most part, we really don't have firsthand, you know, information on that. So I would rather live my life a good, clean life, a healthy life, and focus on the living rather than focusing on, you know, what comes afterwards.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's
uh-huh.
just a personal, that's just how I feel.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't believe in living my life for the afterlife. I believe that if I live a good life here on earth and do the things that I'm charged to do here, the afterlife will be taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I want to say this, because we're going on both sides of this. Everybody keep up with me, okay? We're speaking about our mortality and our understanding, but we're also speaking about those that are left afterwards, okay? Do not think
mm-hmm.
just because you are spiritual that you're not going to miss this person. Don't think just because you have an ancestor shrine that you are not going to feel their loss, that you're not going to mourn them. You know, I really want to get real honest about that, okay? You know, as spiritualists, as people that have awareness of ancestors, have an appreciation of ancestors, we know that, you know, this death is not a final experience with this person. You know, we still get to spend time with them as ancestors. We have quite a few people that spend time with us as, you know, sisters, good friends of mine that I'll see, you know, in spirit time, and we will still have that bond. But that does not for one second mean I don't miss her. I don't miss them. I don't long to be able to pick up the phone and say, hey, you know, thinking about you, you know, worrying about you, worrying about the kids, whatever. But, you know, so I just want to say, don't think that because you're having these feelings of loss and sadness that you're not being a good spiritualist. You know, spirit, just because we have another step doesn't mean that we don't mourn what is currently lost. You know, I don't want to minimize, you know, oh, that was a shell. Yeah, but that was a shell I was used to, okay? That was a shell that I had developed a relationship with. I knew that shell knew me, you know, and so I don't ever want to minimize that, and that's something that I have to remind people, okay? You can still feel pain, even if, oh, they're at a better place, and they're not here with me, okay? So them being in a better place doesn't stop me from thinking about them. So I just wanted to clarify that, okay? Don't get so caught up in the next level that you don't acknowledge just kind of thoughts and feelings of this current level that we're on.
And that you don't hesitate, embrace your mourning.
Yes.
Embrace it. A lot of people think that because you're a spiritual person, you understand, you know, a little about the ancestral realm, you know you can communicate with this loved one, that you should not mourn or you know, no, you need to mourn. You
yes.
need to mourn the
Absolutely.
Loss. Because as you said, Seven, you know, you miss that shell, okay? That is a shell
yes.
there, but you miss her. You miss being able to
yes.
pick up that telephone. I mean, for a while there is a void inside of you because of that loss. And as you begin to grieve and mourn and embrace that that person has moved on, then that void gets filled back in, and you can then begin to, and usually by that time, that person is on your ancestral shrine, and you've grieved enough, and you've cried enough, and it's time for you to move on to the next phase of your relationship with that person, and that is spirit communication.
Right.
So everything
right.
happens as should. We can't put the stop in there. We can't stop it and say, oh, no, I can't mourn this. I can't grieve. I can't cry. I can't, you know, when my mother passed and we knew she was going to pass, she had been suffering for a long time. I told my brother and my sister, I said, you know what? And they knew that I was a spiritualist and that I, you know, dealt with the ancestors and all that. I said, but this is my mother, and I don't know how I'm going to at the funeral. I'm going to tell you this right up front. So whatever I decide to do, don't touch me. Leave me alone. If I feel I'm up and down, rolling on the floor, whatever, leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but I handled it without jumping up and down, rolling on the floor and all that, much to my surprise. And, you know, but that was my, well, maybe not my decision, but that could have been my decision.
That's right.
You know.
That's right.
I was
That's right.
to grieve that loss the way I did. And I
That's right.
I didn't hold back. It just didn't come out by rolling on the floor and jumping up and down. But I definitely went through my grieving process and I didn't hold back.
I see that a lot. I see the hold back. I see the, well, maybe I'm not supposed to feel this way. Or I see, because I know there's another level, maybe I'm just supposed to jump right on that level. And that doesn't happen. Okay? So it is, you know, and then I have a sister who, you know, she's like, I don't really feel sad. And I'm like, that's okay too. You don't have to feel any sort of way. And that's what we have to really kind of get more open with when it comes to understanding this transition. Everyone handles this differently. Everyone. And so some people, you won't see a peep out of them. And then we got cousins and kinfolks that were already on the ground. She didn't have any space to roll on the ground. You know, there we had people that took care of that for us, okay? So, you know, in your own understanding of life and life stages and transitions, even our final transition is something that we should, you know, Mama C just like, I'm not going to worry about the end. I'm going to worry about the journey to it, you know. So whether you're going to enjoy your journey, whether you're going to make sure your journey has a certain accumulation, you know, no matter how you're going about this, allow yourself the patience it takes to do your transitions. Allow yourself the celebration of the transitions. So even in this final transition, when my aunt recently transitioned, yes, there were speakers, there was this, and then in the end there was a band, okay? And I was like, you really got a band, okay. And we, you know, we danced and we celebrated, and it was truly a homegoing, you know what I'm saying? So that was a wonderful way of handling that grief, you know what I'm saying, and us getting ready to handle this transition. And the next level of it, after we get through these holidays, we get to enjoy the transition in a different type of light, where she's not, you know, tired or sick or going through any kind of changes, just understanding her now as an ancestor, you know, and that's a wonderful thing. So that's one of the things that we have to work on when it comes to our transitions. There are lots of different techniques. In the African-American community, I know for a fact that a lot of our funerals tend to be almost family reunions, you know. I'm attending a funeral this weekend that I am so saddened by. At the same time, I'm so looking forward to seeing my family. Some of them I saw just a couple months ago, and some of them I haven't seen in years. And so, you know, even though I have sadness about having to go to this homegoing, I am still very excited about seeing my family and seeing people that I haven't seen in forever and having the children learn more about the culture and the different practices at the culture. At the homegoing, we're expecting a dance, drums, a true celebration, you know. Outside of the tears here and there, you wouldn't even know it was a funeral. It's going to probably be very lively and full of life to represent him as he was when he was living. So this is a wonderful approach. This is, this is how we do. We got to talk about these things. It's impacted. I think everyone has lost someone this year, and whether you feel as if you've gotten yourself to a good place or not, it's important that we, you know, as this year starts to wind down, that we recognize kind of, you know, the accomplishment of us working through their loss, and then also what we took from their life. there were so many, oh my gosh, of those that did transition this year, we had some, like the Akan say, we had some great trees fall. And so there was a lot that we had to, we have a lot we have to celebrate, to learn from, to document, write down what you learned, you know, share with others, share the light. It was just a wonderful experience. So if you would like to call and if you'd like to call and share how you got over, how you were dealing with the transition, even if you're thinking about your own transitioning, how you are preparing for that, I would love to hear from you. All you have to do is press 1. That lets us know that you'd like to speak, and we would love to hear. Understanding, we're here to learn from each other. Any and everything that you share, I promise you, someone else had that same thought. They just didn't know how to say it. They had that same question. They may not have known how to put it together. So, you know, we're all family. We're all family here. And this is why we have these conversations. This is why we have these experiences, so we can help those that may be struggling with a loss of a loved one, especially right here at the holidays. You know, this is a hard time for people. A lot of people, as joyful and happy as some people are, there is someone else that's really, 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 really going through it. You know, and so let's make it a point to try to reach out to each other, to be there for each other, and to begin to understand how to be supportive, you know. So, Mama Khadija, I got a caller that would like to speak, and I'm pretty sure this is my dear sister, Omi Shayun. Let's see.
All
greetings.
Right.
Welcome to the show.
Greetings, Rafia family. How we doing?
Rafia.
Good evening, Mother Khadija. Good to hear your voice again, and you're back in the good old U.S. of A.
Okay.
And I'm
all right.
Yeah, I'm with 7. I was ready to send a squad after you.
Okay.
All right.
By the way, me and Omi Shayun together is not a good
thing.
Okay. We had some plans, okay?
That's the truth. I'm like, oh, my goodness. That was too long to not to talk to you, I'm telling you. Just
mm-hmm.
even just to say good morning.
Well.
Mm-hmm. But I know it was something that you needed to do, and I'm glad you were able to go and enjoy yourself and fill yourself
Amen.
Up with all that beautiful knowledge that you'll share with us. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, you know, this is a really serious subject, 7, transition.
Yes.
And you know, we all go through it in either whether it's family or close friends that we call family or just somebody that we know in passing. It hit us, you know, one way or the other. And you do look at yourself and your family and you say, well, do I have everything ready? Do I need to do anything else? As much as we don't want to think about it, that's part of the legacy. You know, we have to think about it and make sure everything is squared away for your family's future.
Yeah.
And, being, you know, a mother of 2 grown men and a homeowner, you know, I sat down with them, you know, several times and, you know, say, you know, who wants this, who wants that? I said, you know, let me know. The 3 of us are here so everybody can hear it. And, you know, then I will, you know, write it down. So it's, you know, with my paperwork. So as time goes on, there's no doubt of what was said.
Right.
You know, then everybody does, you know, grieve in different ways, you know, depending on the person
right.
that passed away, that transition. But, Yeah, we just need, and I think we as a Black community, you know, the ones that go to church or Baptist church or even a non-denominational church, they celebrate the life of the family member in different ways. And so you just have to, you just have to be with, okay, we're going to leave that one alone. But, I mean, everybody just celebrate everything in different ways, and you just have to be aware and respectful. There we go. Respectful of how everybody celebrates the passing of a loved one.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's important that we recognize everybody's not like you. However you mm-hmm. are, everybody's not like you. And so, you know, we can't judge others. We can't, you know, it would be helpful if we don't, okay? I'm not saying that you can't. Lots of people do. But it would be helpful if we resisted the judgment. It would be helpful mm-hmm. if we resisted trying to measure someone else's grief or sadness or joy or whatever. We can't do that. You know, that's not our job. But yet,
right.
when it comes to funerals, a lot sometimes you'll see that. You'll see the mm-hmm. blame game. You'll see all these other things. And that's not helpful in the end goal of healing. You know, whenever mm-hmm. we've had this whenever it's come up, you know, and unfortunately this last month has been very rough. You know, it's like almost back to back. But I'm always like, you know, healing for the heart. You know, because that's truly, you know, what's going on. Our heart needs healing. You know, and so what you see is when people with their broken heart, when their heart is, you know, in disarray like that, you see them, what I would say is acting badly. You know, you would see them being less than at that moment. So, it's very difficult. But my sister, thank you so much for calling in and sharing with us.
Yes, indeedy.
Yes, all right. I will see you very soon.
It's very soon. Okay.
Okay. All right.
See you soon. Love you.
Love you.
Adabo.
Mama Khadija, I have a question sparked by Lydia, and Lydia always does it for me. What happens when, trying to be politically correct in this question is difficult, how long should someone grieve? What happens when you've been in this grieving and in this sadness for an extended time? What happens then? You know, how do you kind of pull, what happens when people are telling you, you know, you're not over that yet or you're not done with that? What happens when you're hearing that and you may be at an extended point in this grieving process?
Well, I don't think there's any length of time for one to grieve, because I lost my sister in March and I'm still grieving.
Mm-hmm.
Am I crying every day, not eating, not sleeping? No, but I am still grieving.
Okay.
So I think it depends on the intensity. Now that first few months, you know, the tears are always going to come. They're going to come for most of us. You know, maybe a loss of appetite, sleepless nights, restless nights, sadness. That is definitely within a normal range. But once your grieving has extended beyond that time, I feel, and it has interfered with your day-to-day routine,
Mm-hmm. Now, like I said, you're still going to be grieving, but you shouldn't. Well, I'm not going to say you shouldn't, but most of us are not going to be rolling on the floor. We're not going to have an burst of tears and crying fits and stuff like that that we might have had that first 2 or 3 months.
Right. Right.
Now, if it gets to that point and you're still having the outburst, you're still not able to sleep, you're still at that point, I think that you need to seek some help getting through this. You know, you may need to talk to somebody, a professional, your minister, your pastor, your life coach, just to
support
help
group.
You.
Support group.
To support,
mm-hmm.
support group to help.
Yes. Yes.
But
yes.
you might grieve for a couple of years.
Yes.
You might grieve for a couple of years. But it's not
yes.
going to interfere with your day-to-day. You're going to be able to
right.
go to work. You
right.
know, you're going to be
right.
able to have a relationship with your husband. You're still going to be able to raise your kids. But if it's to the point where you can't do those daily routine things, then that's when you might need to, you know, seek out some support.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I would say.
Mhm. That's 100% correct. And friends, family, someone else may have to help you make that assessment. Okay. We all. This is why I believe in the toolbox. I believe in mentorship. I believe in your support group. And if your support group is telling you that you're not progressing in this, we may have to get some additional support then, and there's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't mean you love them any
right.
less. It doesn't. It just means that you need some help to get through. And that's a reality. That's a reality. So don't fight that. Don't fight that idea. Don't fight that process. Just be aware of it. And this is one of the reasons why we do have our support group, so that they can say to us, okay, you're a little too far to the left. I'm going to give you a little nudge, and if you don't nudge over, I'm going to call somebody else, and they're going to nudge you, you know, and then we're both going to nudge
mm-hmm.
you. You know, we're all trying to help you stay in this range where you can still live your life, okay? And so
right.
Don't hesitate when your support team is telling you, okay, you know, let's work on this, let's work through this, you know, let me hold my hand now, hold my hand. We both myself and Mama Khadija have seen situations where people will sit down, they'll sit down on life because a loss is so traumatic, and it literally takes someone's hand or foot or whatever it's going to take to push them, pull them, you know, whatever it takes to get them to the other, get them within that range of to where we can, it can be a healthy grieving rather than it being a life-stopping event and staying stopped. Nothing is supposed to keep you stopped. So, yeah, we have, like I said, it's a wonderful approach. This is what we do. We say the word. Mama Khadija, we got some people that like to say hello on the phone line. I'm going to grab a phone line real quick.
All right.
Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Peace and blessings. How are you?
Greetings. How are you?
Peace. This is Unique. Peace, Mama Khadija.
Peace.
Welcome back on this side of the water.
Okay.
I work in an environment where I am consistently around people. I work in a healing environment, but it's also an environment where we have people that transition. So you know, being in a nursing home, I come in contact with family members, and, you know, I see how people deal with grief and how they don't deal with grief, how they hold on to their loved ones that tried to transition over, and then you have those loved ones that, like, they're going to fight. So, you know, there's a lot of different subjects, topics that you touched on, and I think one of the main thing is, for me, is the healing process. You know, sometimes people don't know how to heal. They don't understand the process of healing. They don't have the tools to heal. And some people just don't want to. You know, they because they're comfortable with, well, they don't understand that death is not the end. You
right.
know, that's why we say transition. You know, it's
right.
like it's another level. So that's why I embrace, you know, being a spiritual person, because I've learned that, yes, it's a different level. And no, it doesn't take away from the fact that, you know, I miss my dad, or I miss my grandmother, you know, or my aunties, you know. I mean, some of the hardest times for me are around the holidays, because those are the times when we all would get together, you know. So now I'm realizing that, okay, well, we still can all get together. I was just talking this morning. I was talking to my dad and my auntie. I was like, I know y'all up here. I know y'all partying. You know, that was like his best friend. They get together and go have a drink with each other, and my mom doesn't know what's going on. They sneak off and do their own thing. Now they together. My mom's here with me, and I'm just like, I know y'all enjoying yourselves. You know, y'all get to hang out, you know. So it's when we keep them alive when we remember them. We keep them
Amen.
Alive when we still have that feeling, know what that feels like when their presence was there with us. And I think that's
mm-hmm.
something that is important, because there's such a taboo around death. This I wish it was another word besides death. Or, I mean, we say transition, but, you know, when you say death, people think it's just the end. You know, I've seen a lot of I've seen people, you know, where I work at, where their family member, they'll say, okay, well, we need to go ahead and put them in hospice. And they're like, oh, my gosh, no, we're not going to do hospice, not realizing that hospice doesn't mean the end. It's just a little bit more care, you know, or more intense care. You know, I've seen people go into hospice and come out, you know, like, whoa. I mean, I have residents that, you know, we like, yo, bump 9 lives, they got 20. You know, every time you see it going down, you like, oh, well, you know, she done bounced back. She done coded twice, and now she eating pizza next weekend, you know? So it's like, you know, the spirit is strong. You know, so we have to realize that's exactly what it is. It's the energy, you know. And I try to approach, you know, individuals when they come to me. Like, I had a young lady, like, she lost her mom, you know, and when her mom was there, we would always talk and joke and this and this and that. Her mom passed away, and that night, I dreamt about her mother. I mean, this woman was in my dream, full-blown, talking junk, just like she was talking junk when she was alive. And the next morning, I called. I was like, tell your mama stay out of my dreams. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And I was telling her about the dream, and she just bust out laughing. And, you know, she was just like, yeah, that's my mom. And, you know, and, yeah, she had this car, and she used to do this. And she started reminiscing about the good things that was going on, you know.
Amen.
And then later on, she was like, you know, I really needed that. Now, me, I was just trying to tell her mother, stay out of my dream. It was a really, I'm trying to go to rest, your mom in my space. You know, but she needed that. She needed to know that, you know, even though her mother physically wasn't there, she really was. She was with her, you know. And those ancestors, as well as our loved ones, they live through us because they are part of our bloodline. So we have to realize that we're not disconnected. So, you know, this weekend when you all go and you spend time with your family, just take that with you. You know what I'm saying? I know you all know.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
He's there with you all. And I love you. And thank you again for providing a platform for us to show love to one another. Because there really is, you know, there really isn't, you know, like Mama Khadija said, there really isn't a grieving time. I can't tell you not to grieve or how long you should grieve, but after a certain amount of time, you should be able to, it doesn't get better. You just know how to deal with it differently.
Right.
Yeah.
If you get to the point where it doesn't hurt, even if it makes you sad, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
And we can start having memories and thoughts of this person without the tears, without the immediate sadness, you know. And that's a natural process, but it's a process. You know, don't undermine the process. Let it be what it needs to be. And so you can then, because then at that point, when you do get strong, you will be strong. Now, if you're faking, somebody's going to blow wind on you, and then you're going to fall out. And I'm like, look at this. You weren't really there. You weren't really strong. Okay.
Now I feel every now and then, I have my dad's picture up, and I'll see him. And then I have those moments where I can hear his voice, you know what I'm saying? Or I have to say, I miss his kid, you know? And, you know, I get a little scared because I'm a daddy's girl, you know what I'm saying? Now, my dad passed in 2011, you know, but, you know, it's, like I said, it wasn't as hard now as it was then because I know more, you know what I'm saying? I have those tools that I use, you know, and I know that when I really want to, you know, get closer to him, I know where to go and I know what to do. So,
amen.
I love you.
Love you too, honey. Love you too. Thank you for calling
love
and sharing always.
Peace.
Always. Peace. Amen. Amen. I got to get this last phone line, Mama Khadija. Say it again.
Let me just mention something about what she mentioned. I just want to make a comment. She mentioned that she works in a place where she sees people transition all the time. And, you know, I had earlier started to mention that there are transition places. And I'm just saying this because if this is something that is a part of your life, don't forget to put your spiritual protection around you as well as, you know, taking your spiritual baths and doing what you need to do to protect yourself, because there's always some type of residue that is left from the person when they transition, and of course, depending on how they left, you know, if it was something that was tragic, if it was illness, there's always some type of residue, and that's why we have to, you know, clean the house, clean ourselves, keep ourselves protected, clean. But I just wanted to mention some of the transition places. She said nursing homes.
Hospitals.
Prisons. Any type of tragedy scene. If you're on the scene where someone was in a fatal car accident or someone was accidentally shot or even deliberately shot, any type of tragedy. EMTs and police officers and firemen and soldiers, anybody on the battlefield, okay? These
Absolutely.
Are people that come in contact with transition more than, say, a regular citizen, person. So make sure you take your baths. Make sure that you stay up on your protection.
Amen.
And thank you so much for that unique.
Yeah, and thank you for adding that. Very important. Very important. It's not that we need protection from the spirit, but we're not supposed to carry around spirits like that. You know, we have our ancestors carry us. We're not supposed to carry around a lot of additional spirits like that. So when Mama Khadijah says we need protection from that, we need to make sure we're not just a walking magnet, that every spirit has access to us, because every spirit is not clean and didn't live a happy life and may not be all that tickled with not being here anymore. So we have to make sure that we are protected from those events. This is, again, why we keep our prayer life so robust, okay? But we got this phone call I want to grab.
Greetings.
Welcome to the show. How are you?
Greetings, Mama Seven. Greetings, Mama Khadijah.
Greetings. My birthday twin.
My birthday twin. I'm glad that you brought this topic up, because it's also like Sister Unique. I'm actually a nurse, so I've held people's hands as they transitioned. I've cried with families. I've done the work. I've officiated over funerals and dealt with the families after funerals. But what's important is, and especially keeping yourself clean, being mindful of the spirits, because I've seen people transition very peacefully, and I've seen people transition very harshly. And so you have to be mindful of that. But what I wanted to talk about was the mourning period. When my mother passed away, I was actually in nursing school. And unlike my sisters, I knew it was almost time. And, of course, I wasn't in the same state, so I had no control. And I kept saying, I need you to go, I need you to go, I need you to go to the doctor, I need you to go. But by the time she went, it was too late. And I'm okay with that now. But she had given me instructions about finishing school. And so when I came back from laying her to rest and we had her homegoing, I went to school. I didn't mourn. I didn't allow myself the time to mourn. I didn't allow myself the time to go through the changes, the stages of grief, of which we call it in the medical field. I just barreled through. And then when I graduated from nursing school, I got married. And so now I had this joy. I had a really sad period, and then I had this really happy period. And then the dust all settled from everything, and I was back into that one place where I had to mourn. I'm grateful that I had people who would surround me who said, oh, they recognized that I hadn't mourned. They recognized the need to go through the stages of grief, the need for me to have the transition, that because we go through a transition as well when we lose a loved one, someone who is so impactful in our life, and especially the person who was the life bearer for us, it's very important to remember that we have to be kind and we have to be gentle yet firm. Love is, you know, this season, I'm really adamant about being kind to people, because I realize that people are on the, people are on the edge, and people who've lost people, who don't have the stability, the spiritual fortitude, or any kind of foundation, are really in a dangerous place. And so that transition is always waiting. But I encourage people to be very mindful of those around us who are so busy working and pushing forward that they don't really deal with it, and be there for those people who, when they finally do come to the stop and actually face the mirror and face the reality that the transition has already happened, and you have to deal with those emotions, you have to deal with that knowledge, you have to deal with that pain and hurt. And no, I wasn't like laying in the bed every day crying and all of that. But I still had to go through the stages of grief, and the stages of grief are very important in order for you to start to move on in the healing process. I won't take up any more time. I'm just grateful that you all shared this had this conversation and put it out there so that the people can think about it and be mindful. And Mama Khadija, I know that you don't want to think about that time, but it's so important to your daughter that we have some form of instruction, because without that, I don't think that me and my sisters would have been able to get through it. We had a base. She didn't give us all the instructions. She didn't say everything she wanted. She just said, don't dress me in nothing, no old frumpy dress. I need a crown on my head. And make sure the drums are beating when I leave. And that was her instruction. And so we were able, and don't wear black. That was the other thing. She said, everybody else can wear black, but you better not wear black to my funeral. But those were her instructions for us. And so those instructions helped us. It just gave us a little bit of a blueprint, and we came together and made it happen. And so I encourage you to at least think of just the little things that you would like to have happen for those who are going to come together to remember you. I thank you all for the time. And, yes, ma'am.
Before you leave, I just want to say I have thought about every aspect of that. I'm just not dwelling on it. I have even started writing my own eulogy because I know what I want to be said about me at my funeral. I don't want my children to even begin to try to figure out my life.
Yeah.
So
Because how about this?
But what
you
I'm
agree.
Saying is that I didn't. Pardon?
I said thank you. I said because we wouldn't.
They would leave a lot out. No, they would just leave a lot out because there's so much that I don't that they know about. The things that are most important to me. The things that
That's
are
right.
most important to me. I want to interpret my own life. So,
I'll tell you who I am. All right, Mother.
Okay. Amen.
And
thank you so much, Faith.
I'm big on that, getting your will together. Get all that stuff together. But what I'm saying is don't dwell on that. Dwell on, you know, the journey. Enjoy that journey. Get your papers in order. Get your papers
get
in
your
order.
Get your papers now.
But enjoy
get your papers.
Learn. Do what you have to do while you have the time to do it. And
absolutely.
Everything else will work itself.
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. This show was too short. And I feel that way about most of the shows, but this one in particular, I'm like, but I didn't get a chance to speak about this. I didn't get a chance to speak about that. You know, I didn't get a chance to speak about suicide. I hate saying the word. So, you know, but this is a part of our community now. You know, and how do we honor those losses? You know, we just had an entire show about our faceless angels, those babies that don't even get put on the ancestor shrine. We don't even, I have mine on mine. I do. I have a whole shrine just for them because I'm not going to act like they were never here. They were. They were here. They had a message. They meant something. Everything God does, there is a purpose for. So there is a purpose for them. I didn't get a chance to talk about those mornings. I didn't get a chance to talk. There's so much when it comes to this that impacts us that we would like not to talk about. I don't understand secrets. Being a psychic and a medium, you know, there's not many things that are secret to me. So when things are secret, I don't understand. You know, I don't understand why you're not ready to talk about this. You know, I don't understand why you think you're hiding when everybody can see you're not handling this well. You know, so I don't understand secrets like that. So when I know professionally, spiritually, in every bone in my body, you would feel better sharing. You would feel better in a, you know, a group support system, a therapist, your minister. You would be sharing. You would feel better letting that out, and then instead of trying to hold all of that in with everything else you already got in there. So, you know, too short a show, too short a show. Mama Khadija, before we go into the prayer portion, and I'm going to get this prayer in, what would you like to tell people about this final transition? What would you like people to walk away with?
Embrace the living, embrace your life, enjoy the time that you have here on this earth, because that final transition is inevitable. It's going to happen.
Yes. Yes. If I had to leave people with two words, I would say don't underestimate the impact that someone may have in your life. A dear friend of mine, Derek Hunter, killed himself. Young man, I think he might have been 19, and it brought death to a different understanding. He wasn't old. He wasn't sick. He wasn't shot. I didn't understand pain until that moment. And for all of those that have lost people in that way, the pain never really, I mean, we're still working through it. This was when he was 19, I was 18. But I still remember him because he was my first introduction to pain. So I just wanted to leave you with, don't let that pain creep up on you. Get you some friends. Get you a support. Get to church. Get to the Wednesday night phone calls. Get to wherever you need to get to so we don't have that situation. Now, when God calls us, you got to answer, but that I never understood. I never understood that. So we have come to the ending of our show. We end every show with prayer, every single prayer, every single show, because that is the thing that connects us to the highest power that makes the change, that brings the healing, that helps us on our journey, that keeps us on our journey. And so, you know, this is why this prayer is so important. And I love a wonderful approach because we get all kinds of prayers. We get songs. We get different languages. We have all kind of wonderful expressions of praise. And I just wanted to end this one with a heart prayer from me. Father, Mother, God, I come before you humbly, asking for patience, love, asking for understanding, asking for peace of mind, peace of emotions, peace of heart. God, I'm asking you to take away the nervousness, the anxiety, the fear, God. We can't operate with this fear. This fear is prohibiting our growth, asking that all things that stop our growth, all the things that stop us from transitioning from one step to the next, all of the things that no longer serve a positive purpose for us, God, we're asking for you to remove them from us. We're asking for you to blind us to that. We're asking for them to be stepped upon as ants. We need them moved. We need all of that gone because we understand that we have mighty work to do. We have mighty work to do.
Yes.
So I want to ask God, please, give us the strength to get over our obstacles. Give us the strength to be a strength to others. Let this season come.
Yes.
Lord, please, it would be such a blessing to have all of us make it over to 2020. Please, God, please.
Okay.
Take all of those negative thoughts, those bad words, those self-defeating attitudes, please remove them from our mouth, from our mind, from our spirit, from our home, from our relationship, from our community, God. You know it doesn't serve us. Please help us to be healthy as we try to make this transition into 2020. Our ears are open. We're ready. to receive instruction. We're ready to be the light bearers. We're strengthening our vessels as we prepare to move in to the new and leaving what does not serve us in the old. I ask these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.